Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
Jesus, thank you for being our joy, that we have a hope that can never be shaken. And so, Jesus, as we come together to worship you and make you known, we pray that we will find our deepest joy in you, not in anything we bring to the table, but in the fact that you love us dearly. So, Jesus, we pray that as we come and we spend some time in the Word of God, that you will encourage us to be men and women who fear nothing. Fear nothing, because you are for us and you are with us, and there's no one who can come against us. So, Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Call us into deeper love for you, and we pray that in your name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Welcome to the Gospel Church. I'm so glad we got a little rowdy today, right? It was awesome. It was incredible to come up and worship with you today, and I am grateful that we get to spend this time together studying God's Word. If you've got a copy of the Scriptures, please turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we'll be starting verse 36. And as you're turning there, I just want to welcome you to our church. If you're new, we're so glad that you're here. We know that God brought you here for a reason. I am very aware that every Sunday morning, God is doing something powerful in the lives of the people that come here. That God is doing something powerful in your life, and he wants to use you for his glory. And so whether that means that today is the first day that you've come to church in a long, long time, God is moving in your life, and we're glad that you're here. If you've been coming here for a long time, God wants you to step into a deeper richness of your relationship with him. And today that's going to be something that you're going to be pressed to do. And so it's encouraging to see God doing something cool in your life and that you're here. And if you're new, we just want to welcome you to be a part of our church, our community. One of the easiest ways you can do that is if you look at this card that somebody handed you when he came in. This is just a card that we would love to have you fill out and drop in the offering at the end of the service. It's a way for you to say, I'm here. It's a first step to be a part of this church. Every single person who's a partner at our church, which is what we call our members, at one point filled one of these out. And it was just a step into a relationship where they got to say, hey, listen, I want to be a part of this family. And there's nothing we love more than to have you join us to be a part of our family. Now, as we look in the book of Acts today, we're excited about what God is doing. We're excited about what God is going to be teaching us through this sermon. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to talk about some vision that we want to walk in over the next year. So I know we're getting this in early. It's not even Christmas. We're talking about next year already. But I know that this is a season where God can do some things that will propel us into an incredible year. And so as we've been praying about what God would want us to be about this year, I felt like God was putting this sermon on my heart to share with you to be a people that serve. And so this is one of the things we're going to be learning today as we're looking through this text. We're going to be learning that I'm missing a big piece of my sermon here, actually out of my notes, but it doesn't matter because I memorized it, all right? I was like, well, you never want to see that happen. But here we are. We're here. Here anyway, you're not going to miss anything. I got it right here, all right? Here's what we want to exist for as a community. We want to exist to see everybody as part of what God is doing in our church, and we want to serve our city so well that the gospel will just ring forth through our lives. And so this is what we want to just kind of hold on to today. This is the big idea I want you to walk away with. I want you to walk away with this idea that service preaches the gospel. The service preaches the gospel, that when you serve, you aren't just doing it for somebody else. You're not just doing it for somebody else's comfort or somebody else's joy. You're doing it because you're preaching the gospel with your life. And that has great power. So we're going to look at the story of this lady named Tabitha today and how her life was a platform where she preached the gospel through her life. So much so that the world was changed by her life. So we're just going to see this in verse 36. I'm going to read you the text. Says this, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. And about that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, she placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, don't delay in coming to us. So today's message is about this woman named Tabitha. Now, this story is near and dear to my heart because my wife's name is Tabitha, okay? So I've been thinking about her all week as I've been working on this, the sermon. But unfortunately, when you translate her name from Hebrew to Greek, Tabitha's her Hebrew name. Her Greek name is Dorcas, which is a very awkward name, right? We all go back to junior high and make a bunch of jokes about that name, which is really funny until your wife's name is Tabitha, and all those jokes end, right? So just know that. Like, we're going to call her Tabitha as often as possible, all right? So Tabitha is a woman who's known as a disciple. That's a great name to be attached to her. Being a disciple means she's someone who's following Jesus. This is what the early church called themselves. They called themselves disciples. They were followers of the way. It wasn't only until later that they were called Christians. And so you find this woman here, Tabitha, serving the people in her city. She lives in a city called Joppa, which is modern-day Tel Aviv. And she is known for her good works and her acts of charity. So this is a person who's been pouring her life out into other people's lives. She's someone who gives her life away. And she's known for this. That's an incredible thing. Like, wouldn't it be awesome to be known as a person who lives your life this way, right? And then the story turns, and she gets sick and dies. And this is something that was very common in those days. Still common. Every single person dies. We haven't beaten that one yet, right? But she dies, and it seems that it's very abrupt. She gets sick and dies, and the disciples in Joppa do something really unusual. They do something no one really had done before. They take care of her body differently. And what they do is they prepare her body, they wash her, and then they place her in a room upstairs. And there's something really interesting about this, in that most people in this time, when someone would die, they would take care of the body, but they would bury that body really quickly. And they would actually place the body outside of the city so it wouldn't defile the rest of the city. But here they do something different. They actually take the body and put it upstairs in an upper room. And so scholars wonder, like, why they're doing this. Is this part of their faith, believing, even at this point, even though she's dead, that Jesus can do anything? And they place her in an upper room, which is very similar to the place where Jesus had the Last Supper right before his death and his own resurrection, where he gathers his disciples together and they worship God in an upper room. And so there are a lot of parallels here in what they do. And so they bring her and then put her into this upstairs room. And then they send for Peter because they hear that he's close in a town called Lydda. And so two disciples show up and say, Peter, come with us. Come back to Joppa because you need to come help us out. Now, there's some things that are very, very interesting to me when I read this. So one of them, when I read this, one of the things that is so striking is this woman's life, Tabitha. She lives in such a way that everybody wants her to come back. Right? They're like, man, it'd be great if she wasn't dead. Now, one of the things that's so hard to do is when you go to funerals, you go and hear about somebody's life, and there's a lot of joy and sadness. At the same time, there's sweetness and sorrow. But most people are not going, we just want that person back, right? Like, there's often a desire to see them again, but there's this finality that comes with death. And not to get too morbid this morning, but like often, like when you go to a funeral, you wonder like what your own life is going to be like, right? When you're the person that everybody's mourning, like what are they going to remember about me? You might think when you're there. I wonder that. I'm like, what do people say when I'm finally on to glory? What's that going to be like? Are they going to be happy? Are they going to be joyful? Are they going to be telling stories about my incredible jump shot? Like, what are they going to say? My jump shot's not that great, but like, you know, it's worth hoping that somebody at least memorializes my basketball game on my last party, right? And yet, at the same time, you find them here asking themselves, could she just come back? It's worth asking the question, like, what would it look like if I lived my life like that? Where people mourn me to the extent they're like, man, we just want them back. We love to have this person back in our life. And so they send for Peter. And here I find myself just wrestling with another incredible question. What kind of faith do these people have that they think that Peter can do something about this, right? Like, I mean, can you imagine somebody close to you dying and then saying, hey, we need to call Pastor Mike because he's going to raise him back from the dead? Like, that's never happened in almost 20 years of pastoral ministry for me, right? No one's ever been like, somebody's died, you need to come and fix this. That's never happened. And yet they send Peter, and Peter's not really been raising a lot of people from the dead. Like, this is something that's even rare in the New Testament. right? It's one of the things I think is helpful for us when we look at miraculous things in the Bible is that sometimes we can see all these things happening in Jesus' ministry in the book of Acts, and we think that miracles on the scale of bringing somebody back from the dead just happen all the time. And so we wonder, like, why is that not happening here and now? But you need to understand is that miracles, even in the Bible, are pretty rare. Like, they didn't happen all the time. And usually when they do happen, they're a sign. They're something that points to a greater reality than just the miraculous thing that God does through somebody. So miracles are a sign. They're not just like, hey, listen, we're just going to do this, and so we got this cool magic trick so you'll believe. Often, miracles did not bring belief in the life of those who saw them or even had that miracle happen to them. Because a miracle doesn't change your heart's affections towards God. But here you find Peter being asked to come, and I don't know if they even knew exactly what was happening, but they're hoping that Peter will raise her back to life, even though it only happened four other times prior to this in the New Testament. So it's something incredibly rare that they're asking him to do, but he comes anyway because of their faith, and they're praying and hoping that Peter can do something powerful. Why? Because Dorcas, Tabitha, preached a sermon with her life. She preached a sermon with her life. She lived a life that pointed to something bigger than just herself. She had exposed people to a different kind of God than the one that they had been serving, a God that actually does love people and does love people dearly and gives himself for them. She had lived a life where people were willing to believe like this. And so Peter comes, and we find this in verse 39. It says, Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. So Peter comes, and he comes to the house, and he's encountering a group of people who've been changed by Dorcas's life, by Tabitha's life. And the widows of the city show up, and they say, this is what she's meant to us. She's brought us these clothes that she's made herself. And they show Peter all the clothes that she has made for them and how she's taken care of them. And we find something powerful happening in their life where Tabitha doesn't just love them, she gives them hope. As she's living a life of service, as she's serving, she's doing something really, really incredibly powerful. She's giving people who had no hope a kind of hope. A different kind of hope, a hope in someone greater even than Tabitha, a hope in a God who can change somebody's life like Tabitha, where she lives a life of service and love. You see, there's something powerful here that's going on in this story. You're seeing people experience a love that doesn't demand something in return. You're seeing people experience a self-sacrificing life that has been transformed by a deeper kind of love. And Tabitha has been preaching this as she serves the people in her community. And what she's doing is she's imaging what it looks like to be Jesus. She's showing the people with her life what Jesus is all about. She's incarnating the gospel. She's being Christ to the people around her. Because what she's doing is she's actually living out as a disciple, somebody who follows after Jesus. We saw that referenced earlier, right? She's living as a disciple of Jesus. She's following in Jesus' footsteps, and she's acting like Christ. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus talks about how his disciples should act. He brings the 12 in front of him, and he says this to them. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high position act as tyrants over them." Jesus just acknowledges, like, this is the way the world works, where those who are on the top use their power to set themselves up as lords among the people, that they use their power position to make their own life better. But then he goes on to say this. This is what Jesus says. He says, "It must not be like that among you." So Jesus points to a different type of people, people who give themselves for others, who aren't looking to push others down so they can be seen as great, but who give their lives away and serve. This is what he says. He says, On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you see what Jesus says about what it means to be his disciple? He says that if you want to be like Jesus, you need to be someone who sees themselves as a servant. Not as a star, not as someone who's successful, not as someone who's a high achiever, not as someone who's willing to do what it takes to win in life. If you're a follower of Jesus, God is calling you to be a servant, to see yourself as a servant. This is a radical departure from everything we've been taught in our culture, right? Our culture tells us you need to get ahead, and when you do, people will serve you. But Jesus says you're called to be a servant. And he says, this is actually what God is like. He says, even I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served. Like Jesus didn't come to say, listen, I'm here and now I'm God and I've kind of arrived on the scene. So everybody needs to go get in line and serve me. That's not what he does, right? Jesus says, no, I came not to be served, but to serve. And in that, he gives us an incredible picture of what God is really like. That the God of the universe, the most powerful being that's ever existed, the most wise being that's ever existed, the one who knows all things, sees himself as a servant to serve others. And if this is our Lord and Savior, if this is our Master, if this is the King of the universe, if he sees himself as a servant serving others, then what does that mean that we should be? What does that mean for you and I? If God is a servant and we are his servants, then how are we to act? Well, we should see ourselves as people who serve everybody. We should see ourselves properly in the universe, that we are people that are like Christ. And when we serve others, when we serve the least of these, when we serve those who are in need, when we serve the people who are both down and out and up and out, when we serve those who are desperate, those who are feeling deep sorrow, those who are feeling anxiety, those who are feeling like they don't need God because everything's going great, when we serve people, we become incredibly free. See, what we live like often is we live like, hey, listen, I need to make sure that my life matters and that my life counts and that I'm awesome, that people will remember me. I want to make sure that I have all the things in line so that I will have the best life I possibly can have. And so I got to go look out after number one. But serving unwraps all of that and defeats it, right? Because serving, what it does is it actually teaches us that we're not the center of the universe. That we're not the central figure in the story that we're living. When we serve, we humble ourselves and we live differently. Serving changes us, and it reveals the true beauty of the gospel. It shows how beautiful Jesus really is. That's what serving does. I'm really careful to say that serving doesn't make the gospel beautiful. Like, it's easy to say that, right? But that's not true. The gospel is already the most beautiful thing, that God Almighty saw us in our sin and sent Jesus that we could find life eternally and gave himself as the ultimate servant, even to the point of death on a cross so that we could be one with God. That is the most beautiful thing possible. But when we serve, what we do is we actually start showing that and what that looks like in our life. It reveals that we actually believe it, not just say it. It shows that we live out our conviction by serving people. It shows how beautiful the gospel really is. And it preaches the good news of Jesus Christ. There's something so powerful about people who believe the beauty of the gospel and live it by serving other people. And here we find that God approves and is not finished with Tabitha's story. You see something incredible here, that God does something powerful through Tabitha's story and approves of her life and celebrates it. And we see it as Peter enters into that room. Verse 40, it says, Peter sent them all out of the room. So he says, everybody go. And he knelt down and prayed, and turning towards the body said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. And he gave her his hand and helped her stand up. And he called the saints and widows and presented her alive. Here we see an incredible work of God. Peter enters the room, shuts the door, prays. He doesn't do any kind of incantations. He doesn't draw any designs. He doesn't do anything magical, right? He just prays. And then he turns to her and says, "Tabitha, get up." And Luke, who writes the book of Acts, actually preserves the exact words. They are Tabitha kumi. He preserves the words that actually Peter says. Now, this isn't like some incantation, but the reason that Luke preserves these words is because he's showing the value of one life changing another. He's showing the value of discipleship, and he's showing what God is actually doing in Peter's life as he's preparing Peter to continue to walk in the steps of Jesus. Because you see here, like, Peter's also serving. He's immediately gone and left where he was at in Lydda and left immediately to come serve the people in Joppa. He's serving and following whatever God wants him to do. And in this moment, he's stepping into something he's never done before. He's taken a huge leap of faith by believing that God could actually do whatever he wants and can actually raise this girl to life, this young lady Tabitha, and raise her back from the dead. And so as he's sitting here in this room, he remembers what Jesus did. See, this story follows really closely a story that happened when Jesus was walking the earth, when Peter was first following Jesus. There was a man named Jairus, who was a leader of a synagogue, and Jairus had a daughter that he loved. And this little girl was sick, and so he asked Jesus to come heal her. And on the way, Jesus has several things that slow him down, but when he gets to the house, when he gets to Jairus' house, he finds that this little girl has died, and everyone is mourning. Everybody's weeping because the little girl is dead. I have three little girls. I couldn't imagine if one of my children died. I couldn't imagine feeling that same kind of pain that Jairus is feeling at that moment. It's deep sorrow that his daughter has died, this overwhelming grief, like, she's no longer with us. If Jesus could only have gotten there in time. We've seen Jesus heal people other places. Why did God delay? You know, the deepest parts of our doubt often is in God's timing. Like, why, God, did you allow this to happen? What are you doing? And here we find Jesus serving them, not just only in serving them in taking care of the little girl, but we find Jesus serving them and calling them to a deeper relationship with himself, showing that he's somebody even greater than they can imagine, and the timing is part of that. And so as Jesus is in the room with this little girl who's passed away, he sends everybody out, just like Peter does. He prays, just like Peter does. And then he says these words, which Luke also captures in the book of Luke. The words are Talitha cum, not Tabitha cum, which is what Peter says, but Talitha cum, which means little girl, rise. And that little girl rises from the dead. Peter does the same thing. He calls Tabitha to rise, and she does. And here, a beautiful picture is painted of what it looks like to be somebody who follows Jesus. It's a life of service. It's a life of faith. It's a life of trust. It's a life of power. God does something incredible when we serve. We engage with the Almighty and we see him do something powerful, because the greatest miracle that happened that day was not that this young woman was raised to life. It wasn't that. The most powerful thing that happened is what happened afterwards. Look with me in verse 42. Verse 42, it says, "This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." This resurrection became known in Joppa, their city, and many believed in the Lord. The gospel went forward. Worship happened because of the sermons that were preached through Tabitha's life and through Peter's life. As they served the Lord faithfully and in different ways, God's name was exalted in their city. And people who used to not worship God began to worship God. Service brings worship. When we serve people, God is glorified through the service, but then also through the fruit of the service, which is that people begin to listen to the claims of Christ and then hold them as their own, which is what happens here through this story. You find Tabitha living a life where the gospel is being prepared in people's lives by her service, the way she serves the poor around her. And then you find the gospel being proclaimed as God moves in power through Peter. And then what other way does the gospel proclaim? What other way does that happen? Well, we see this as it becomes known. As people declare what God did, as witnesses see what God has done, the gospel goes through every part of the city and many come to know Jesus. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean? We're going to go raise people from the dead? Well, that'd be awesome, but that's not what that means for us. What does it mean? Well, for us, as people who do know and love Jesus, this message means that we need to be people who serve. We need to be people who are marked by service. Because when we do that, we preach the gospel with our life. And yes, we are to preach the gospel with words, absolutely. Often I kind of like skew over that side. Like, let's just preach the gospel with what we say. And sometimes I skewed that far that I stopped thinking about serving through my life. And so what the Lord's been pushing in my heart recently is that we need to change. We need to course correct. I need to course correct and start seeing service to those who are the least of these, those who are the down and out, those who just don't know Jesus. That we need to begin preaching the gospel with our lives far more loudly than we have been. And so this is my hope for us this next year, that our church would be known by its heart to serve. That when they think about the gospel church, that they would think about us as a group of people who are deeply passionate about Jesus, that we would be people that just love him, that we are disciples, that we live our life like Jesus, but that we would also be people that are known by our heart for the people who live around us, that we would be people that are like, and those people see themselves as servants of the community so that others can know Jesus. Because we're not doing it for them, ultimately. When you serve, you're not really doing it for the people you're serving, and you're certainly not doing it for your own sake because you're not going to be able to serve yourself into heaven. Serving can never fully qualify you to be God's people. The only thing that qualifies you is Jesus' love for you. But the thing that's amazing about serving people is that when you do that, God is glorified and you get the joy. Service does something so cool in that when you serve, God is glorified and you get to experience joy. There are a few things that have brought more joy in my life than serving other people because it gives me an opportunity to see what God has done for me and to express the incredible love that he's given me. And there's just something that's just released when I serve. So here's some things I want you to consider this year as we get ready to think about what service would look like for us. Christmas is a season that we just start serving. And I know you're thinking like, oh no, Christmas. Like it hasn't even happened yet that we've had Thanksgiving. Like, I want my turkey still, but now you're talking about Christmas. But just quick show of hands, like, how many of you already contemplated getting a Christmas tree yet? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you guys. How many of you guys actually have Christmas trees up already? Anybody? Like, no shame here, right? Anybody, Christmas tree? We're already thinking about, some of you guys are already listening to Christmas music. It's not even Thanksgiving, and that's okay. Safe space. I'm also, full disclosure, we're also getting a tree probably tonight or tomorrow. Like, just this is what happens, right? Christmas is upon us. And yet, Christmas is one of those times where we get to just live in this time of worship and adoration and service. And so one of the things we want to do is we're talking about what it would look like for us to be a church that just loves our city and is for Nashville, is we want to encourage you to serve in ways that you've never served before. That you would unleash service upon the city. And so to do that, today I have a very special announcement. As you know, if you've been coming for a while, we have this thing called the Arise Initiative, which was basically a vision for our church to be for Nashville, for the nations, and for the glory of God. So we just said, hey, what would it look like for us to be a church that is for Nashville, for nations, for the nations, and for the glory of God? And one of the things that we did is we just said, listen, we have this vision. We want to go plant churches, and we want to go make disciples. And so let's find ways that we can do that well. As a part of that vision, we had this idea that it would be really cool to make it really easy for you to serve the city. And so today we're launching the For Nashville Network, which is a way to serve the city. On our website, there's a new page that is about serving the city. And on that page, there is a search engine that we're giving to the city that allows people to serve the city very, very easily. It's a way for you to say, hey, listen, I can find any way that I want to serve in a nonprofit setting for the glory of God. And so I really want to encourage you to check that out today. Before you go home, you can check it out on your phone, or you can check it out on your way to lunch. But there is this tool that we're trying to unleash on the city, which is a way for you to find opportunities to serve. And I'm going to ask you today to serve unashamedly. I want you to pour your life out to serve the city. And so if you're in a small group, my encouragement to you is to say, what ways can we do this together as a group? What outreach can I do to go serve in our city? What thing can we take on? We're actually featuring three specific sites that we'd love to have you consider, and they're on that site. And so we encourage you to go do that as a group or as an individual, or maybe even in your workplace, you have some friends that are like, hey, we want to go serve, do something cool. We encourage you to be a part of that and to lead out on that, because when you do that, you proclaim the gospel that you've been loved by Jesus and you don't care who knows. So I want to encourage you to serve the city through that site. Choose this Christmas to pick something to serve and to serve it for the glory of God. But secondly, we want to encourage you guys to serve here at this school. If you're like trying to find a way to serve, this school has so many opportunities to serve the people that come here. This school is an incredible school, but it has a lot of needs. And one of the things that's so cool is that the school and our church have formed a partnership where we just want to flood it with resources and ways to serve, that continually find ways for us to plug you in to serve the school. And I have a burden for this school. One of the early times that when we were starting this move to this building, we had a prayer night in this room. And I will never forget seeing some of the students come in as we were getting ready to pray, as we're having a meeting. Our people were kind of filtering in. We're getting ready to get started. And one of the girls said, why are all these people here? And her friend said, they're here because they're going to have a prayer meeting. And the first little girl said, what's a prayer meeting? And in that moment, my heart just broke for that child, that she has never been exposed to a church that prays, to a church that's actually praying that she would come to know Jesus and love him with all of her heart for all of her days. What would it look like if our church loved this school so much that we would see a harvest of people that would say, we now love Jesus because of the investment of the partners at the Gospel Church? One of the ways I'm doing that is I started helping teach Spanish here. I could just come in once a week and tutor. And I was like, I've been using busyness as an excuse. Like, I've got little kids, I'm doing a doctorate, I'm pastoring, I'm busy. And yet, at the same time, God has given us an opportunity to go serve, and I want to deeply serve our community. And if that's you, if you want to serve the school, we love to have you help out. But lastly, if you're thinking about a way to serve, so you can think about serving through the site, serving a nonprofit in our city, you can think about serving at the school, but you can also serve here at our church. And I think what's so remarkable about our church meeting in the school is that there are so many avenues to serve. That the service that you do on a Sunday morning is not just helping out, you are worshiping, and those are opportunities that directly lead to other people worshiping. So let me just tell you guys a couple quick stories. This morning, me and Josh, we were talking about the sermon, we're talking about like what our heart was and how serving leads to joy and how we get so fired up when we get to go serve other people and go give our life away. And Jacob, who runs sound for us sometimes, showed up and he was just like, hey, listen, can I just butt in? It kind of scared me because he came from like this side. I didn't know where he was. I was like, whoa. So somebody here, he goes, hey, listen, I just want to say this. He said, I run sound and I do it as a volunteer and I love it. And this is why. I do it because when I serve, I see people worship And that just fills me with joy. And I was like, that's a good word. I am ripping that for the service. Because it's true. When we serve, joy just happens in our heart. We get to see God move in people's lives. I preached this sermon before the service at 9 o'clock. At 9:15, I preached what I'm preaching with you guys. I preach it to our kids leaders. And I go through a 15-minute version of the sermon. I kind of abbreviate it pretty closely, but I love preaching it to them because they're serving. And I was talking to them this morning about serving and thanking them for their service. But one of the things that was so powerful to me was just thinking about how Jesus sees children. Jesus sees children and says, let the little children come to me because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I was just talking to him. I was like, listen, when you're serving, what you're doing is you're making it possible for little children to come to Jesus. Like, there's nothing more beautiful than that. There's something beautiful about serving. You get the joy, but Jesus gets the glory. And you're creating space for people to know and love God. There's something so powerful about serving. You see it really clearly as people serve and love our children, that they could come and know Jesus. But it's not just limited there. When you serve, you unlock the power of God and you allow people to see the beauty of your life that's been changed by Jesus. So what would it look like if our church just said, we're going to take it seriously to serve? If our master is a servant, then how can we stop serving? How can we be reluctant to serve? If Jesus came and served me, then I should serve. And I just want you to know that today this is an invitation. It's an invitation to step in and just lock in and give your life away. But by no means do you need to feel pressure to do this. Like, you should not feel like, man, I should do this or I'm going to get in trouble with God. No, this is simply because you've already been loved. It's because you've experienced grace and you've experienced a true servant, which is Jesus, which changes your heart and your heart's affection so that you want everybody else to know him like that. And so today, I think it's important for us to return to the source and just realize that the only way it is possible for us to live a life like Dorcas / Tabitha, the only way we can live a life like that, the only way we can live a life by faith like Peter, is if we continue to ground ourselves in our relationship with Jesus. That we would know him and love him and cherish him and know that our worth is found in him. And then be free to go preach that kind of life to others. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for our church. Thank you for the power of a life that is fully submitted to you. Thank you for showing us a picture of what that looks like in the life of Tabitha. Thank you for a picture of what that looks like in the life of a man like Peter. But what I believe firmly today, what is so glorious is to see that same kind of life reflected in the people of the gospel church. God, would you do that? That we would be a group of people that see ourselves as servants of the Most High, and that we would live lives that are so compelling in our obedience to you and our love for you, that the world, that our city would say, what's up over there? I pray that you would do that. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.